You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. For the better part of a year, the KTOO newsroom has been working on a large project that culminates and launches this week. Magakwento, which means the stories in Tagalog, is led by KTOO's community engagement producer, Tasha Elizarde, who joins me now for a look at this awesome project and all of its components. Tasha, gunath chis, salamat for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. You know, just a short walk from my office desk, so
to the studio.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to have you in today to talk about this huge project. So Magakwento is a project that you've been working on for 9 or 10 months.
Yeah, I think it's been 10 months now, which is that's kind of crazy to think about. It's almost been a year.
Wow. So how did this project come about? What was the seed? What was that germinating seed?
Right. So pretty much what happened is about 10 months ago or so, I think it was also around October, I was visiting the Filipino Community Hall because at the time, KTOO was doing the revision documentary series, which we're still producing. But for that episode, I was working with Paige Sparks to collect some old photos for one of the documentaries on the Gold Digger Restaurant. And so, I was just like, oh, yeah, I know where to find that. It's probably going to be at Philcom Hall, the place that I grew up in with a lot of other Filipino families. So I walked in there trying to find photos and I just realized, oh my God, there's a ton of things around here that are really cool. And there are a lot of items that I just didn't even think existed. So looking through some of the plaques, the photos that were already up in the walls, I was thinking it would be really cool if the space could be kind of built up a little bit more so folks could kind of walk in, check out the history, all of that. And so that's really where this project started is I had like this personal mission to try and record and share some of this historical information that I didn't know despite having grown up in the community.
Wow. That is amazing. So from that little thought to almost a year, basically a year later. And it now was the original idea. I don't know what the timing was originally for this thought, but it happens to be coinciding with Filipino American History Month, the launch of this event, which is going to be the first weekend of October. And was that planned or was that sort of serendipitous, the timing that it worked out in terms of all the planning that you did? Did you have this as the end date in mind?
It was kind of both. Originally, we were trying to aim to get some of these pieces together before the summer, just because I was thinking, hey, like, we're going to have a lot of tourists come in, a lot of cruise ships come in. It would be wonderful to be able to share that with them, too. But, you know, like, this project kind of grew and things got bigger, and so we ended up pushing it. But it was coincidental in the fact that this year is actually the first year that Alaska will be celebrating Filipino American History Month via state statute. Before this year, pretty much the legislature would have to pass a declaration to be celebrating. So I like to call it FAM. So Filipino American History Month, FAHM or FAM. And so it kind of just all came together because this was also the same year that Representative Genevieve Mina, who is the second Filipino legislator to join the Alaska legislature, also was elected. And her first bill to pass, which is, it's crazy because it was her first session, you know, was the FAM bill. And so she will actually also be coming down for the October 6th through 8th events, which I'm pretty excited about.
That's awesome. Now, it is a fact that Alaska has the largest concentration of Filipinos of any state.
Yeah. At least that's according to, I want to say that's according to sometime in the 2010s. It's tricky because, you know, I could talk a lot about how important it is to record accurately numbers. It's a whole thing, but basically, like, census data is not always available around how many Filipinos there are in any state. Oftentimes, because when they do counts, it's Asian Americans only, rather than, you know, Asian American as a group is such a diverse group that we can't really rely on that number to understand how many Filipinos are here. But according to sometime in the 2010s, that was true.
But we do know that Juno specifically has a very large Filipino population, very active Filipino population. And so this project seems to be a perfect fit for Juno and this community. And the fact that you took this on is amazing. I know you have had tons of support from the news team and from community members and community leaders and partners and all that stuff. But for you personally, before we get into the details, I'm just curious, like, what is it like to run a project like this over the course of a year?
It's definitely exciting. No day looks the same. I didn't expect to be, you know, age 24, being an executive producer for a three-parter project. You know, it's definitely been crazy. Like, I actually started doing this thing where I'm trying, if I ever remember, to, like, record parts of my day, just because everything I do is so random and a bit chaotic. Like, yesterday, I spent a lot of time just at Philcom Hall trying to prepare for the events, which means, like, basically digging through a ton of the stuff in the hall and trying to prepare it in a way that's presentable, which doesn't, on its surface, doesn't sound that tricky, but, like, in the details, it means you're hanging up a lot of different items. All that, even before we even got to the process of being able to hang up and put things on shelves, all of that, I was spending, like, pretty much till May or June since the start of the year. So, like, 5-6 months, just trying to find and collect all of the items and sort them into different piles. So Some of that work was already done, thankfully, because Ed Carrillo, who's kind of like the interim building manager there and a really awesome volunteer, had sorted a lot of things. But then it's a lot of work to do for an entire two-story hall to be able to figure out what's where. And so sometimes I would, you know, my favorite story to tell is that I found a photo of my grandmother, my Lola Sally, on my dad's side inside this kind of gross looking manila envelope. And it was along with all of these other photos that were taken in the 60s. And that folder itself was underneath a shelf on the ground. I also just want to, like, express, like, that envelope looked pretty gross. It was unlabeled. And so when I found them, I was like, wait, what the heck? And on the back, it said Pinting Family Collection. And I realized, like, these are donations that were given from one of the families to Juno. But because the hall is so big and there's so many items just around, that one somehow just, you know, ended up in a crevice, a literal crevice. So
you're able to sort of get it and make it presentable. And that's, wow. Yeah,
we ended up framing those. And then those are now in the main hall as part of the installation. And another cool thing that we are working on a lot, and I say we because I've had a ton of really dedicated volunteers who have spent some time this past month trying to get some stuff together, because it's a lot of work to do for one person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I'm most excited about is that, speaking of photos, we took all of the photos that I was able to find in those 6 months, because, you know, some of them were in crevices, some of them were in photo books that were, like, hidden upstairs, some of them were, like, hidden with all these other book donations that we've collected over the past 20 years. And I took all those photos. We worked on making sure all the photos were properly in photo books, all of that. And then they're now living downstairs so that people can access them along with other Philippine-focused literature, as well as, like, articles and media that's been published about Philcom Inc. as well. So that's going to be kind of like our library
of
items, which to my knowledge, I don't think that there are, well, yeah, I mean, Philcom Hall is the only Filipino organization building in the whole state of Alaska. So I'm willing to say that it's probably the only library like that to exist in Alaska.
Wow. That's really great. We're talking about MAGA Cuento, which is a project from KTO's news team led by KTO's community engagement producer, Tasha Elizarde. Tasha, you said that the project encompasses three large components. So there's a podcast, a museum exhibit, and a community celebration. Let's start with the community celebration. What is that going to be? Where is it going to be? What's it going to include? Give us all the rundown of how exciting that project thing is.
Yeah, I am so excited for the community celebration. I think it's probably the thing that I'm most excited about for the project, just because I just know, like, events are kind of, well, historically, events are where how we've really engaged the Filipino community. And so I'm excited for that. And all events that are hosted at Philcom Hall are open to the entire Juneau community. So anybody can come down to the hall at South Franklin on Saturday from 12 to 5. And so pretty much October 7th is the day when we have a lot of different things going on. And the goal behind that day was really to kind of talk about Filipino identity in Juneau by talking about, you know, revisiting our history while also kind of presenting it with our present. So the way that the schedule is kind of mapped out is we have things like the photo books that I mentioned earlier will be on display. There will also be a ton of different these plaques. And, you know, the space is really built so that it can be a place for people to come and reflect on the long over 100 years of history of this community. But then at the same time, we, you know, inside the historic space itself, we have a lot of cool modern things going on. Like, we're going to have some cultural workshops for people to learn Filipino martial arts, drumming. So if you remember, like, on July 4th, there are folks that, you know, dress up in these large feathery costumes that kind of look like eagles. And then, you know, you have like the line of drummers. We're going to have someone from that group teach Filipino drumming. And we also have Theater Alaska, who is putting on a cabaret of a ton of Filipino artists around town. And they will be performing. And then, of course, we have food. So, you know, like the obvious thing.
Wouldn't be a celebration without food, right?
Exactly. And, you know, all of this is free to the community, too. Like, it's for anyone. For Saturday, it's really kind of like a nice walk-in event. You can come in, pop by, hang out, grab some snacks, listen to some music, maybe attend a workshop, do some kids' activities, too, if you want to learn traditional games. And look through the photo books. There's just like a lot of cool things going on from that 12 to 5 slot that'll be kind of an opportunity to be able to engage with the community, but also just learn about who we are, who we were in the past, but who we are now.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like those books would be really fun to sort of, the photo books would be fun to look through and see the history, all the things that have been donated, as you mentioned, the personal story about that. And that is at 251 South Franklin Street. It's October 7th from 12 to 5. And there's going to be Filipino food, cultural workshops, live music, the installation that will be there. It sounds like a really great, warm and open event to all, right? As a great kickoff. So let's talk about real quick the I know the museum is also having an exhibit that's going to run for, I think, 2 months. And I know that's going to be at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. They'll be on the show this week to give us some more detail about that. But just give us like a basic idea of what that museum exhibit's going to be about.
Sure. Absolutely. So the MAGA Cuento exhibit is much more focused on how the Filipino community organization itself has come to be over the years and what that means for the organization now. history is really long. It's also really complicated. And we'll actually, I'm excited for Adeline's episode, episode 3 of the Manga Kwento podcast series, to dive more deeply into that. But the exhibit's kind of like a visual taste of that same history, plus a little bit of other extra stuff too that I curated. And so it'll be really cool. I'm just trying to think of all the things that are in there because there's so many really cool items. We'll obviously be having a couple of the past costumes from our old Ali Tap Tap dance group. Same thing with the Ati Ati Han, the thing that I mentioned for July 4th, those big eagle-like costumes will also be on display.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we have cool items like that. But then we also have these really exciting photos. Like I got a loan from one of our really wonderful dedicated volunteers. And she basically has this photo of the Filipino community in 1931. Or was it 32? 1931 or 32. And it's huge. And this photo actually used to live at Safeway before. Yeah. It was super funny because just last night when I was delivering some posters for the event, I came into the Twilight Cafe, who is, by the way, catering for, helping to cater for the October 7th and 6th, the October weekend events. And I was chatting with one of the owners and he saw the photo on the poster and he was like, wait, I remember this from Safeway. Like, he brought over his wife and he was just like, don't you remember this was on the Safeway wall? And she was like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
But anyway, getting on with that, we have that photo, which is now in Mona Stevic's belonging because her grandfather is pictured right in the center playing, I think it's a saxophone, because back in those days, like, they would just have a ton of really music-focused events.
Yeah.
And so there's like this giant photo of that hanging on the wall as well. But yeah, just a ton of really
cool. That's cool. And that'll be part of the first Friday. I'm sure the museum will be open to the public that first Friday, probably from 4:30 to 7.
Yes.
And like I said, they'll be on the show to give us a little more detail about what's going on with that event.
It'll actually be 4 to 7.
Oh, and 4 to 7.
There will also be food there. That will be more like dessert-y snacks. So if you recognize like Mel from Boca, they will be having some nice desserts there too. So.
Wow, just food all around. I love it.
Yes, it wouldn't be a Filipino thing without any food, especially food with Filipino flavors. You got to show up and show out.
Absolutely. Show up and show out. And then finally, let's just touch on the podcast. I know this Friday, we're going to play the first episode of the podcast, which is your episode.
Yes.
And then they will release as it goes over the course of the coming month. You want to go to kto.org and get yourself signed up or subscribe to Manga Kwento wherever you get your podcast, right? But tell us a little bit about the podcast. I know what I know is that each news reporter has taken on an episode, and there's, tell us how many episodes there are, kind of what it's going to cover.
Yeah. So there's 5 episodes, and, basically this kind of just came about because I had surveyed a bunch of Filipino community members. A lot of this process of doing this project has been very community engaged, just talking to a ton of people. So I kind of gathered the responses about what kind of topics they wanted to learn about. And so the first one that we'll hear on Friday is about, you know, how have Filipinos even came to be in Juneau? Because we have a huge community and also a huge influence. That's like kind of the base question that sets up the rest of the podcast series. And so after that episode is Katie's episode, which is more of a focus on labor and what kind of impact Filipinos have made on certain industries in Juneau. So that includes the Alaska Marine Highway System. The obvious one is the history behind the cannery industry and also around healthcare and how, you know, like why is it so important for Filipinos to work hard rather than just saying that as a value? Like, why is it so important that a lot of community members have contributed so much to Juneau? And then the third episode, Islands episode that I kind of mentioned a bit earlier, is about the Filipino Community Hall itself. I think I had said that. So that's the only existing hall for Filipinos in the entire state of Alaska. And so, you know, there's kind of a reason behind that. Buildings are hard to maintain. But what's cool is that we kind of go through the history of how the organization started. There was actually a hall for the Filipino community before the one that exists now. And then there was a fire, and I don't want to say too much, but it is because of the work of a lot of Alaska Native women that we have the organization that we have today, which kind of gets me to our fourth episode done by Yvonne. And she talks a lot about the mestizo identity. If you don't know what the term mestizo means, it's a term that generally refers to people who are mixed Filipino, but in the Alaska context, it refers to specifically Filipino and Alaska Native people. And so she dives into the history around that and how that community came to be, which is inexplicably tied with how Filipinos even came to Alaska in the first place, and how they really were the ones to found the community here. And, you know, there are conversations around how the mestizo and broader Filipino community aren't as connected as they were before. And so we dive a little bit into that conversation. Actually, we dive a lot into that conversation because that's the purpose of the episode, and really attempt to just, you know, try to recognize that separation. And then the last episode by Anna is going to, it focuses on basically how the younger generations, the community, a lot of the community who have grown up in Juneau, like people like me, are kind of coming to terms with Filipino identity and what that expression will look like. And so we talk about the old Ali Tap Tap dance group, which, you know, if you were here in the early 2000s, you might remember a lot of these cool Filipino dance performances happening at JDHS around the state of Alaska, because they were really huge. But we kind of also talk about, you know, why isn't that a program anymore, and the challenges that people face, but also the meaning that groups like that have for younger Filipinos, and, you know, what happens now. So
absolutely. Well, it is a large project, three major components. It's Maga Cuento. It is happening all of October. It's a podcast, it's an exhibit, and really what you want to get yourself to is that community celebration.
Yes.
On October 7th from noon to 5. It's going to have some Filipino food, some workshops, some live music, a cool installation, some photo books. Tasha, you have put a lot of work into this, and it seems like it's going to pay off in all these different ways. It's so many components of this, but it all comes together, and it's all happening during Filipino American History Month. It seems so, so great, and I can't wait for this to kick off. So where do people find out more? How do we keep following this project as the details come out?
Yes. Yeah, so there's actually, like, we have so many community partners that there are a lot of places you can find out more information, but I would say the main ones are follow Filipino Community Incorporated on Facebook. We have all of the event information for Friday, for just through the entire weekend, that first weekend of October, that you can find there, and you can find, you know, the programming, all that. And then for the podcast and for a little bit of exhibit information too, you can go to ktoo.org/Filipinos in Alaska. That website exists for the podcast, but also all of KTOO's coverage and republished pieces about the Filipino community in Alaska.
It's got videos on there from past stories or, yes, different kind of things we've published before.
Really
so
cool things.
That's really cool. So that's the place to follow all that information. Gunath Cheese, salamat for coming in today, Tasha, giving us this preview of Maga Cuento. It's going to be cool. So stay tuned to KTO for more.
Yes. Thank you. Salamat.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO.